This is Deb Alexander, your host of Are You Real Government? I've got a great show coming up just after these words from our partners.
Hey everyone, this is Mike.
And this is Brian of Fellowship Home Loans.
Many things make us different, but what do our clients say?
We can close your loan in weeks, not months like other lenders. They love our low rates and, of course, our personalized one-on-one approach.
Call us today at 800-804-SAVE or online at fellowshiphomeloans.com.
Government is everywhere, personally, nationally, globally, and heavenly. Welcome to Are You Real Government, the premier media outlet where we discuss what's going on around the world and how to release God's governance, the kingdom, into it. Each week, we'll be equipping you with kingdom understanding and giving you the inside track to government leaders around the globe. Now get ready to get real about government with Are You Real Government.
What in the world is going on? And more importantly, what in your world is going on? This is Dub Alexander, spiritual advisor to the influential and your host of Are You Real Government? I've got a great interview for you today, so sit back and enjoy the show. All right, so I'm here in the city of Amarillo, sitting down with the mayor, Ginger Nelson. Thanks for being on the program.
I'm happy to be here, Dub. Thank you for inviting me.
Absolutely. So I'd like to start with just a little bit of personal background so people can know you beyond the office that you hold. What is something that you would like people to know about you that they're not going to read about in the news?
Well, I love Jesus, and he's the most important thing in my life. And following him gives me great joy and challenges me greatly, too. I love my husband, Kevin, and you might read a headline or an article about the mayor, but you don't often read about the leader that the mayor respects the most, and that would be my husband, Kevin. He's serving the city, too, in so many ways, and I couldn't serve in this office if he wasn't serving along beside me. We have three wonderful kids, and love parenting them. We own businesses here in Amarillo. We own a hotel called My Place Hotel, and we're learning so much about hospitality and the joy of being around people. And we own an office building also that gives us that same opportunity. And in my so-called spare time, I love to paint. I love bright colors, and I love to paint paintings that are about people or about things that we see here in West Texas that tell a story.
I love that. That's so cool. And I've got to say, just from the time I've gotten to spend with you on a personal level, that I love and want to honor you for how you do let the heart of God direct you on every level, and that it holds so much weight with you. I know that you don't make decisions for this city without taking into account what the Lord is speaking to you. And so that's awesome. That's one of the things I love about you.
Thank you. I appreciate that.
Absolutely. So before choosing to serve in the area of local government, what was your background?
I have a Spanish degree and an advertising degree. And then I went to law school. And I'm board certified in estate planning and probate. So for 20 years, I counseled families and small businesses on how to make transitions in preparation for the passing of a family member, and then actually ministering to them after the loss of a family member. And I enjoyed that greatly. Even though it's a hard thing to walk through with people, I just found a lot of comfort in being a source of wisdom and stability for them during those hard times. So that's my background.
Okay. So talk to me about the transition. What happened that made you decide to run for mayor of Amarillo?
God only reveals his plans to us as we need to see them. So the whole journey of this really began several years ago, but I didn't see it happening that way. About 7 years ago, I was appointed to serve on the Economic Development Corporation for the city of Amarillo, and just spent a lot of time learning about the Amarillo economy and taking my business knowledge and applying it to a larger scale of how business works in our city and how we recruit business to work in our city. And then there was some controversy that developed in the city, and that board got kind of pushed into the middle of the controversy. And so out of all of that, I began to realize there was a real need in our city for godly leadership, people who were willing to sacrifice the time and even sometimes their reputation to stand up and pursue God's heart for our city. And so I just kept praying that the Lord would bring people to do that. And I knew we were having an election coming up in May. This was the summer before that. And our family was praying diligently that God would rise up godly leaders. And careful what you ask for, because around August of that year, I began feeling the burden that our family was supposed to be involved. So I said to my husband toward the end of August, and it was something we had discussed, and I admire him greatly as a leader, because I had been involved a little bit already in city things. He had asked, you know, did I feel like I was called to run for mayor? And I said no. But I said to him, I think you are called to run for mayor. And so we prayed about that, and we're in the process of expanding our hotel businesses, and the timing was just not good for him. We could not afford for his leadership off of our business, for his energy to go towards serving the city. And so after praying about it and seeking godly counsel, and the answers were no, no, and no, we just set that on a shelf and thought, we're so glad we prayed about that. And the answer is no, we'll keep praying for whoever it is that's being called. And I just still at night just felt like an elephant was sitting on my chest. I was having trouble sleeping. I just was feeling burdened by it. And so a couple of weeks went by, and I came back to Kevin and I said, you know, maybe you were right in asking me that question. Maybe I'm the one that's supposed to run for mayor. And so we had to wrestle through that. We had to really weigh the cost of what that meant to our family. We still have two children at home, and one of them doesn't drive. So, you know, we still do the mom taxi at our house, and what it would cost in our business for us to make this commitment as a family. We went to church after a couple of weeks of wrestling through that one night, and the title of the sermon was Obedience Over Comfort. And I just knew, it was like God just poked me in the heart and said, "It's your analysis is not whether or not this will be uncomfortable for your family. The analysis is whether or not I'm asking you to do it. And I am." And so I got in the car. I cried through that whole sermon, just convicted. And we got in the car, and my husband said, "Are you called to do this?" And he didn't even say what, but I knew what he was talking about. I said, "I am." And he said, "Okay, let's do it then." And we began the journey of figuring out how to do that. It's so funny, people say, so, you know, have you always known you wanted to go into politics? Or, you know, has this been part of something you've aspired to do? And I just have to honestly say, no, I didn't even see it coming. To me, it was a call from the Lord, and we as a family have obediently stepped into it, not feeling qualified as much as just knowing we were called and trusting the Lord to equip those that he calls to every good work.
That's so good. I love that story, and I never get tired of hearing about that. I know there's so many more details and so much more intricacy to how God calls you into that, but I'm so glad that he did, and I'm glad that you're here bringing his heart to the city. So let's talk about that. I know that you've had conversations with the Lord concerning the city of Amarillo. What do you think is God's heart for the city?
I think God intends for our city to display his glory. His glory lives here in his church and in his believers. But I think there's a larger platform that he's using Amarillo to build for the display of his glory. And he plans to display it through bringing solutions to our problems, because that's how we rely on him as our Father, is we show him how much we need him. He already knows, but we admit how much we need him, and we turn our problems over to him, and at the same time, we offer him all our resources and all the gifts, which he's given us anyway, and we say, you weave it together. You show us how best to do this, to solve problems, to ultimately love people in your name. And I think there's some teaching that he is planning to bring to our city that can be modeled and implemented to solve problems. And then I think because we are centrally located in the United States, that God has a plan to push us out and to take these things that he's teaching us about his glory, and that whittles down into solving problems even at a city level. He will make us a model city. And then he will bring people that have these same problems to us, and we will be able to teach them and display his glory to them, and it will ripple out across the nation. And I love that we live in the plains of Texas, and I think that God enjoys that too, because in a lot of ways, the plainness of our community is a perfect canvas for him to work and display his glory. We won't try to take credit for it.
Right.
We don't have fabulous mountains and amazing ocean views, and we're just plain. We just have a heart for the Lord here in our community. And where he chooses to go with that, the destination, the result, only he can get the glory for that.
You are speaking my language. I'm so, so excited about what God is doing here, and I could not agree more. So let's shift a little bit from the spiritual aspect to the practical aspect. What is the future vision for the city of Amarillo?
The vision for the city of Amarillo is that we would create a city where every citizen, every resident could achieve greatness. And not greatness for their own glory, but just revisiting back to what we just talked about, they achieve greatness for God's glory. And they use the gifts that the Creator gave them. They use the resources that he has put in their hands to steward. And with those gifts and those resources, they achieve greatness. Not success in the world's view, but greatness on the kingdom stage. And so the vision of the city is that we would keep that destination of greatness and glory in front of us. And we would figure out a way to begin solving problems such as illegal dumping and repairing our streets, recruiting businesses to come here and build our economy. We have a workforce issue in our city. We don't have enough workers. Our unemployment is so low, we can't recruit businesses to grow here. We need to be partnering better with our educational institutions and so there are a lot of very real municipal type problems and issues I spend time praying about, and I fully believe God has practical solutions and will bring leaders to solve those problems. I really believe that the solution to every problem we have in our city resides in the gifts or the thinking of someone who's already living in our city and whose heart belongs to the Lord. So part of our job as the city council is to create an environment and to change the tone of our city so that everyone's ideas are welcome and so that everyone feels safe and has a venue to come and bring forward their ideas, their problems, their solutions. The difficulty that we struggle in is making sure that it doesn't become a hate venue. And so that's a constant battle, because there are folks who like the attention. My children went through seasons where they didn't care whether they were getting in trouble or they were getting accolades. They would sometimes just do something outrageous to get my attention. We have that happening in our city now. People are trying to just get attention and put the attention on themselves instead of working to bring a solution that will move our city forward and build us as a community and fall in line with what God is doing to display his glory.
So true. You're touching on such an important aspect of what can be accomplished when a culture of honor is established. Mm-hmm. And I know your heart, and I know that you are doing everything within your power to establish a culture of honor where everybody can feel valued and everybody can have a voice. And the people of influence that will thrive in a culture of honor are statesmen and stateswomen, people who know how to carry themselves with honor, with integrity, who know how to talk about difficult issues in a respectful way, know how to dialogue rather than debate. There's so many different things that can be implemented. If you really are passionate about a subject and you want to see change, learn how to carry yourself not as an activist, but as a statesman, and see what you have the ability to bring to the table to see the change that you're passionate about. I think that there's a lot to be learned there.
I always learn when I sit down and have a conversation with you, Dub. Yeah, that's really good, and I agree with that.
Thank you. Please stay tuned for the rest of this amazing interview after this 30-second word from our partners.
We get asked all the time, why Fellowship Home Loans? What makes us different? Hey everyone, this is Mike.
And this is Brian of Fellowship Home Loans.
Many things make us different, but what do our clients say?
We can close your loan in weeks, not months like other lenders. They love our low rates and, of course, our personalized one-on-one approach. And always, our clients get 2 months off from their mortgage payments and $1,000 back at closing.
Our motto itself, mortgage lending guided by Christian principles. Call us today at 800-804-SAVE or online at fellowshiphomeloans.com.
So talk about, give me the top three advancements that have been made or are coming to the city of Amarillo that you're most excited about.
You know, I think one of the most important things is that our staff has an environment now that they feel safe to be creative and innovative. Failure is really one of the best learning tools that we have. A baby learns to walk by falling down, and then they retrain their brain to balance differently. So every fall teaches them to be a better walker. The problem is, in running a business or even in running a city, if you have a gotcha mentality so that no one is willing to try to learn to walk because they're so afraid of what you will say or do to them if they fall, then all you have are people who are standing still. And problems are going on all around them, but nobody will take the first step to solve a problem because of the gotcha environment. So I think really the first and most exciting thing that's happening with God's hand under this current city council is the change in tone. So that we no longer, at least at City Hall and among the environment that the city staff operates in, we don't have a gotcha mentality. We understand that your heart is to do your job as well as you can, and there you'll make good, honest mistakes. You'll make a head mistake, not a heart mistake, every once in a while, because none of us are perfect. The leadership of Jared Miller, our new city manager, is so in line with this vein. He has a beautiful heart and a servant's heart. And as the leader of the city staff, I've seen tremendous change in the environment there. And now out of that, we're beginning to see innovative ideas come to address real city problems.
Come on.
Yeah, it's good. It's really good. We have, though, addressed some very large-scale projects, and that gets me excited, too, thinking way down the road. We've done some vision casting for the city and asked the Lord's heart to be involved in that, and some of that has even happened. You know, we stand on the shoulders of people who came before us. The revitalization that's happening downtown, if you haven't driven downtown in the last 2 or 3 months, or in the last year, oh my goodness, your socks are gonna be blown off. We're currently building the baseball stadium and getting so much even national attention for the design of this stadium. There are several elements in this stadium that we will be the only city with a minor league baseball team that has these design elements on our stadium.
Wow.
So, you know, it is about God receiving the glory, but as a proud mom, I like it when our city gets a pat on the back or gets a nod, you know, on a nationwide scale. So the baseball team and the energy that they're going to bring to our city is so fun and exciting. We have other things that we're working on. We'd like to start talking about the work that needs to be done at the Civic Center. That's something that we need to change and address if we're going to grow as a city and continue to recruit young families to come back here to start their businesses, young executives to come back and work in businesses that are growing and expanding here. And, you know, I have some big dreams for our city because we are centrally located and because I do feel God's hand moving with favor on our city. I think we have some opportunities to recruit businesses like we've never had before. And we need to address what our city looks like It's a hospitality issue. It's a customer service issue. So as a business owner, I know I can't recruit you to lease space in my building unless the outside of my building is attractive and inviting to you and to your potential customers. So there are some things that are happening in our city, the North Heights neighborhood and the Barrio neighborhood and San Jacinto neighborhood, working on neighborhood plans that we as a city can partner with them to do some cleanup, to do some neighborhood overlay plans that would change how their neighborhoods are zoned and how people build and redevelop in those neighborhoods. We can partner with incentives there to try and get people to do neighborhood redevelopment. We can change the face of our city. And one trajectory shift in 2018, plus 10 years of citizens working on it, will result in tremendous impact in our city. So really, that's a loaded question because I could really go on for about 3 hours on the things that are exciting to me about what God's doing in our city, but there's three things.
I love it. And we'll definitely have you on again in the future when we have a little more time.
Oh, that'd be great.
What's something, this is a podcast that goes out on a national level, international level. What is something that you want the people of the nation to know about the city of Amarillo?
The city of Amarillo is really a city of great opportunities. And in a lot of ways, we are what the West was even 200 years ago. We're undiscovered potential. And we are real Texas. So many people that drive through I-40, this is the only view of Texas they get. They come from Tennessee, they drive to California or Arizona. They don't go through Dallas, they don't go through Austin, they don't get down to Houston. They go through Amarillo. And so Amarillo is the ambassador for the entire state of Texas to over 8 million people that travel through our city on I-40 every year.
What are
we doing to present ourselves as Texas? What are we doing to present ourselves as people of God who have hospitality, who have ingenuity, who pride themselves on being entrepreneurial? We have wide open spaces here. And in a lot of ways, they reflect the wide open faces of friendly, welcoming Amarilloans. So I would like for folks across the nation to know that we have tremendous potential for you to build your business here. We have a culture of friendliness and hospitality like you've probably never experienced in the world. And we're so centrally located within the United States between the East Coast and the West Coast. I feel like we're the perfect conduit no matter what your business is, whether you are in the business of influence or media, supply chain, manufacturing. We are such a logical choice for you to consider helping us grow, because we have a desire to help not just the families in our geographical city grow. We have a desire to help other cities grow. Part of God's vision for our city is that we would disciple other cities. So the stronger we are as a city, the stronger we will be in influencing and discipling other cities.
You've said so many things that I just need some time to process, and I could just go on and on about. I love what you said about being an ambassador of the state, that the city of Amarillo is an ambassador of the state, and just all of the spiritual implications of that as the kingdom is, and we're called to be ambassadors of heaven here on earth, and just the real opportunity that we have to manifest God's heart and plan for a city that will represent a state right here where we are. And earlier, even when you touched on you know, how even our landscape is just a blank canvas for us to develop something that people can come and see. And I feel like that there's a real shift going on from not just Daniels and Josephs going out and gaining influence and speaking to the heart and the authority of God in different places, but that God really wants to establish Solomons on the earth, where people came to him to see how things were to be done. And so I just want to speak that out over the city of Amarillo, that it will become a Solomon city, that other cities will come and view and be astonished by and learn how to do things God's way, because that's really, really what it's all about.
I will just confirm that. Over the weekend, I found a journal from about a year ago, and God had prophetically shown me a drawing, and it was the entire United States, and in the middle of it was Amarillo, strategically located, and there were circles going out like ripples. But out of the rest of the world, he pointed an arrow at Amarillo, and that's where he's bringing people to connect with us. So he is going to use us to ripple out in discipleship to other cities, but part of that looks like they come to us, like people came to Solomon to see what he was about and to try and learn from him. So I agree with that.
So good. Well, we are out of time for today, but I would like to do another interview with you in the
sure.
near future.
Yeah.
And I've got so many more questions, and so... Yeah, I just want to speak to Amarillo. I grew up in South Oak Cliff in South Dallas, which was a really rough neighborhood. And when I moved here, when I was 19 years old, it was a real culture shock. And what you're saying about the hospitality and the friendliness of the people is so true. And when you said that, it just took me all the way back to when it was shocking to me, the friendliness and the helpfulness of everybody around me here. And, you know, once you're in a territory for a while, you can become numb to that or it just becomes familiar. But I remember very vividly, wow, that's this place is different. And Amarillo is very much a welcoming place. I love that. I love what, you know, what's been done with the Big Texan and just the notoriety in a good way that it's given our city. Mm-hmm. And so I just want to honor those guys as well. For establishing that in our city, and they've done a great job with that. And I know that they're men of vision as well.
Mm-hmm.
They have
they are
different things that they want to develop in our city. And I'm thankful for guys like that, you know,
yeah.
that are willing to put a city on a map through their hard work, through their legacy, and through inheritance.
They have a family legacy of vision, that's for sure. And even just sitting here listening to you talk, I am feeling prompted to just to talk about curiosity and just to ask people to pray that leaders around the nation and leaders around the world would begin to be curious about what God's doing here in our city, because curiosity is such a powerful tool. You know, even I can hear it in your story of landing here, that it made you curious to think, what is this community like?
Sure.
That people are doing this? And it's when God makes us different that people notice us, and when we're noticed, then people become curious about what's the story behind them. Why are they different? And so then they approach us and ask us about our story, and that's so much more powerful than trying to chase them down and get them to stop to listen to the story that God's telling through
wow.
us. So curiosity is just an amazing spiritual tool. And I think it would be fantastic if we as believers just ask the Spirit to pour out curiosity on what God's doing in our city.
I'm all in.
Hmm.
So let's close with this question. Where is a reliable place that people can connect with you and follow what you're doing here in the city and get the truth?
Yeah, boy, that is a great question. My Facebook page, so it's Ginger Nelson for Mayor, is really the best place. You have to be careful. So, you know, biblically, we know you have to be shrewd. Do double check that information. My page is verified through Facebook, so you can look up there in the corner and make sure that you're actually looking at my page. Just be aware that you're looking at the right page. The city of Amarillo has an official page as well. But just be careful. It's not somebody who's put up a logo that's similar to the city's page. I try real hard to connect and keep my posts there. You can be aware of what's going on in the city by following that page.
Yeah, that's a great resource to stay up to date with what's going on. And I love how you go out of your way to honor different individuals and just put their picture up there and talk about what they're doing. And so that's all good stuff. Well, thanks so much, and I look forward to our next interview.
Thanks, Dub.
I really enjoy getting to travel around and see what God is doing through the kingdom all over the world. But there's something special about getting to share with you what's happening right here in the city of Amarillo. So I hope you enjoyed this interview. I want to give a shout out to John Fuller for the amazing platform that he's built with the Are You Real family of podcasts. Of course, you can always catch his show on Wednesdays. It's the original Are You Real show. And I also want to give a shout out to Cassidy Atkins, who is hard at work behind the scenes, making sure that Are You Real is up and running and publicized correctly. She's doing a great job. You can catch any of the family of the Are You Real podcasts throughout the week, so make sure you do that. Until next time, it's been Dub, it's been Kingdom, and it's been Real.
Thank you for joining us on this episode of Are You Real Government. For in-depth resources, show notes, information on today's discussion, or to connect with your host personally, please visit areyoureal.org. While you're there, be sure to check out the other podcasts in the Are You Real family. Until next time, thanks for keeping it real with Are You Real Government.
We get asked all the time, why Fellowship Home Loans? What makes us different? Hey everyone, this is Mike.
And this is Brian of Fellowship Home Loans.
Many things make us different, but what do our clients say?
We can close your loan in weeks, not months like other lenders. They love our low rates and, of course, our personalized one-on-one approach. And always, our clients get 2 months off from their mortgage payments and $1,000 back at closing.
Our motto itself, mortgage lending guided by Christian principles. Call us today at 800-804-SAVE or online at fellowshiphomeloans.com.